What's up, y'all, and welcome back to Found Bites, a game review series. My name is Brian, and I'll be your host. If you don't know about us, we're all about finding and testing out small, high-quality video games. This is a podcast that aims to respect your time and money as a gamer and a consumer by sifting through storefronts and sales to find those gems that may be worth your precious resources. But enough about the show. Let's get into our next game. Pepper Grinder is the game for this week's episode. Pepper Grinder is a 2D action platformer by developer R-Eck, I believe I'm pronouncing that right, and published by Devolver Digital in 2024. The game is available on PC, PS4, PS5, Switch, Xbox One, Series X and S. When first looking at the game, it seems like a simple 2D platformer, but it's very fast-paced, a lot of like live turning because you're moving in this like 360 degree direction where you're digging underground. It reminds me a lot of Laika just because of that. Like, you have to be mindful of what direction at all times that you're pointing at. But there are levels, and it's like a platform collector similar to K's in the Wild Masks. And as I first looked up the game, there's a claim that it's inspired from Echo the Dolphin. I didn't play this game, but I would imagine it's similar because you can like dig underground or underwater and jump out of it kind of in an arc, which is how some of the platforming works. So I can see that inspiration. But aesthetically, it is super pixelated. It reminds me a lot of Wildfire, which is a game we've talked about before. The game released with an MSRP of $14.99. And runtime, supposedly it takes you 4 hours to go straight through. And if you want to do everything in the game, and there's a lot of extra things to do, it might take you closer to like 7 or 8. It didn't take me that long. I've been playing it on PS5. I got it on sale for $6.74. And I beat it just under 4 hours, and I got all the main collectibles. I didn't do any of the time trials. Once you beat the individual levels, you can do time trials with them. I feel like there's no way I could do that, or it's just not that interesting to me. But if you're just going through, beating the game, collecting all the gold coins in each thing, it only took me 4 hours. And this was developed, like I said, by R-Eck. I have no idea what that means. I don't know if it's supposed to sound like a pirate, which would make sense given the game. But this is a team from Oregon. I actually think it might be one guy. There was one main developer listed in the credits, but a lot of other people, potentially from Devolver Digital. And now this is a publisher that we've heard of before. They publish games like Hotline Miami, Inscription. There's something about when they see a game and publish it, it's got my attention. So I didn't realize that this was a Devolver Digital game when I bought it. I just kind of saw it on sale, never really heard of it. So I just decided to give it a shot. Let's talk gameplay for Pepper Grinder. So this is a 2D action platformer. It's going to be very similar in terms of the layout with games we've talked about before, like K's and the Wild Masks, certainly Donkey Kong Country, Super Mario World. So you're going to have being in level, and then you're going to have the overworld where you're picking which level to go in. So let's talk just general progression of how you're moving through the game. So you're looking at the overworld. There are 4 different worlds you're going to go through, and each one has like 4 to 5 levels each that you go into and you have to beat to progress. Again, the map looks very similar to something like Donkey Kong Country, where like the levels, they don't show up in a straight line. It's like a map where you're traversing, moving around the map and the dotted lines in between. You need to beat a level to unlock the next one. Pretty straightforward. And at the end of each world, there's a boss where, like, that is the level. And once you beat that boss, that's the end of the world. And then you go on to the next world. Each world will have one of the spaces be like a shop that has collectibles, cosmetics, health buff things that you can purchase, as well as each world will have like one secret level that you unlock, and you unlock that by getting certain currencies. Now, the different currencies, you'll have gems, which are like your basic thing that are just scattered throughout the level, and then you'll have these gold pirate coins, and each level will give you 5 of them, but you have to find them in the level, not unlike finding like the Kong letters or the K's letters. And then some extra things, as you're getting some of these currencies, collecting the coins, you'll be able to purchase some collectibles. After you beat a level, you'll be able to go back and do a time trial. So let's talk in level, and these are just the basics of the 2D platforming. So you can move left to right, you can jump, but you'll also be holding this drill, and this is the main thing about this game. So your character will hold the drill, and you can hold the right trigger or R2 on PlayStation to have the drill be going, and you'll be using this drill to attack enemies, which basically, if you have the drill on, you just walk into them, or to dig. And this is going to be the main traversal mechanic and platforming mechanic that makes this game so unique. Now, what's interesting is it kind of has a twin stick feel, yet you're only using the one stick. So you're moving left to right with the left joystick, but it's also aiming the drill in sort of a 360 view. And so you can aim it in any direction in a 360 view, but if you're aiming it to like the top right, your character will still move directly to the right. So it's an interesting synergy between moving side to side and aiming the drill. It works very fluidly, in my opinion. It's super responsive. You can, you know, go back and forth pretty quickly. It reminds me a lot of Dandara when you were like aiming where you were going to jump next. Very responsive in a 360 aiming. And then, of course, you can also hold a button to kind of stand still and aim, a la like Metroid or something like that. This works more prominently with one of the advanced things that you'll get, which is a gun. So let's talk about the digging, because this is really the meat of the game, and this is going to be how you're traversing most of the time. So we talked about how you can move left to right with your character and jump platforms, but that's not going to be sort of the main way of moving around. So this is super fast paced when you're digging. It's very real time and reactionary. And when you're in whatever the substrate is and you're digging, it just kind of goes. There's no stopping when you're digging. And so you're constantly, if you need to swerve out of the way, like you have to constantly be moving the joystick in a 360 direction to keep your character moving on the path that you want to go on. And so there will be different diggable substrates, at least visually. There'll be like a soft dirt, and this is going to be the most common. You'll recognize this pretty early on in terms of what substances you can dig through. You'll also be able to dig in water, which is just kind of like propelling your movement in certain directions, but you're going to go a little slower in water. And regardless of the substrate, as you move around and then come to the surface, you will kind of pop up and you'll be able to move over in an arc. So this will be good for like trying to get to a higher platform. You're not going to be able to go that high, but when you're in the normal like soft dirt on land, you can boost with X on PlayStation and you'll get like a super boost and you'll shoot out and you'll be able to reach higher platforms. So this is something that you're going to be able to do a lot, whether with platforming or with attacking enemies that are higher up, things like that. So it can give you the distance long ways, but it can also give you the height coming out of that substrate. So let's talk about the platforming in general. So obviously digging is a big thing, but when you're walking around on land, sometimes you will be going through areas where you're not digging. So that's just a simple run-of-the-mill 2D platform. You know, you're simple moving back and forth. You're jumping to different platforms, whether they're made of wood or stone. The ones that are wood are just like kind of planks, and you can jump down through them, which you are going to have to do a bunch. But primarily, you're going to be doing the digging, and this is super fast-paced. You're going to be making quick decisions and movement, and a lot of these are going to be sequences between, like, solid ground places for you to stand. So, like, you might come to the edge of a platform, and then there's clearly, like, places to dig through, but then there's no platforms in between. So you might be shooting between digging substrates, like through the air. Like, so you have to time like how you're boosting out, what trajectory or angle that you're shooting in to get to the next digging place. But a lot of these digging sort of substrate things are just going to be like hanging in the air. So it's not really logical, but it's interesting because you're using this as a way to platform instead of just jumping. Like, you have to aim it very acutely and make sure that you're going to get in that next bubble of the dirt to be able to progress onward. And some of these are going to be like jumping between very small areas of this digging space. So you have to be accurate with the angle that you're shooting out. It is pretty forgiving. Like, if you catch the lip of it, you'll be in it. But you have to then navigate with that 360 directional motion, like, to get back into the meat of the little digging area so that you can recover and then go back and shoot onward to the next one. And what's really nice is the gems that you're collecting along the way, one of the currency. Like, this is going to really be laid out to you to guide your trajectory. Not very uncommon for a 2D platformer, but it's very helpful because in a lot of these little digging areas, like, you're going to have to sometimes loop around, and it just helps to follow the gems, especially with like the angle that you're going to jump off into the next digging area. So in these sequences, constant movement, again, aiming that 360 kind of path or direction is going to be key. And if you like mess up, like, it's fine. Like, you could potentially, you know, shoot out at the wrong angle and then in the air, like, go back into the area that you were in and then like do a little loop-de-loop in that area. Like, you're going to find that you're doing that a lot, trial and error. But again, the margin for error is pretty good. And as you're going through these sequences, you're going to be avoiding hazards. So number one is just pits. So like I said, some of these sequences, it's going to be like dirt area, dirt area, dirt area that are separated and then like nothing below them. So you have to get in the dirt area onto the next one. And if you miss, you'll fall and then you'll lose one health and you're kind of going to go back to the last stable ground. This isn't always consistent. Sometimes like it'll actually put me in the last time I was in a digging area that I was there for longer than a few seconds. And then I'll kind of be hovering above it and it'll drop me in so that I can dig right back into that. So it's not really consistent when you fall in a pit where you're coming back to, but you will lose a health and kind of go back to the last. You're also going to come across bombs that sometimes are just sitting there. Sometimes they're hanging. Sometimes they're moving in a sequence. And so you have to time like when to maybe like boost through them so that you don't hit them and blow up. Again, you'll lose one health. Most anything that hits you or that you hit that's going to cause health issues, it's just taking away one of your health. And the environment will have a lot of projectiles and different things. You'll have some levels underwater where you have to avoid sharks. You can't hurt them. You have to try your best to like jump over them so that they don't bite you and take away a health. But primarily, you're going to be coming across enemies. And these are probably the same size sprites as you. Sometimes there'll be one of them. Sometimes there'll be like a whole group of them in different points in an area. These basic ones are just going to charge at you. They have a horn on their head. And if you just let them charge at you, they'll hit you and they'll take one health. Or some of them will actually have a bigger weapon, which can be an issue. Because for most of them, you just point the drill at them and it'll hit them and kill them. But the ones that have the big weapons, if you run into it when they have like the weapon down or something like that pointed at you, you'll take a damage. So you might have to jump over them and hit them on their other side so that you don't get hit by the weapon. And a lot of these basic enemies will also be able to dig. They have the horn on their head, so they'll use that as a drill. So if you go underground, they might follow you. Their accuracy or their paths are not as good as yours, so like they're kind of going under like aimlessly, but you can run into them with the drill underground and kill them just the same. So you'll just have simple enemies that come rushing at you. You'll have some that shoot projectiles at you, some that kind of fly or hover in the air and shoot projectiles, some that operate turrets that you have to go kill them and break the turret or whatever. And you'll have these sequences as well that you're in sort of like a locked room. And a lot of times in these rooms, there'll be spawn points like hanging up in the air that you have to get up and hit them so that they don't keep spawning enemies. But basically, you have to kill all the enemies and all the spawn points to unlock the door to progress. And of course, there'll be some advanced things. You kind of have like a hook shot. It's not really explained to you. It's just at a certain point, you'll come to a level and the prompt will show up to like hook to something. So these are interesting. Some of these you'll come across in air, like in these sequences where you're drilling and shooting across to different areas. There might be like a hook in the middle where like if you hook to it, your character will just like loop to loop in a circle around it. And then when you're ready, you can sort of dismount and go onto the next, you know, digging area or whatever. These are really interesting in platforming because they allow a brief respite, but you still have to like shoot off at the right angle to make sure you're getting to the next area with your trajectory. You also come across these hookshot things that are kind of basic. It's just like to pull you up to the next platform. You'll see these a lot when you're trying to reach higher things that you can't jump to or you can't boost out of dirt to get to. And basically it'll just pull you up and then suspend you in the air for a second and you can, you know, move over to get to the platform. You also come across these different tools, quote unquote, that you can pick up or activate with the drill. And these are going to be very obvious because they're going to have like a yellow cap on one side. And that's going to be a place for you to put the drill into. So you just go up to whatever the item is or the thing is on that side where the yellow cap is. And you hold the drill and then it'll pick it up. So a lot of times if you're in a locked room, this will be a key. So this is how you like pick up the key to bring it over to the lock. You'll also find a gun in a lot of the different levels where you can just kind of hold it. And the aiming is similar to just holding the drill. Like you'll be able to aim in 360. You also come across a bunch of vehicles that'll have the yellow cap somewhere on them. And you jump into it and you can drive the vehicle in long sequences. A lot of these are going to be really cool. I like the snowmobile. There's one where it's a giant mech, almost like from Mega Man X, where you can like destroy buildings. Just really cool. A lot of the different things that you'll see. And at any point, if you have one of these things on you, you can drop it and leave it right where it is. If you want to like go explore in different directions and then just come back and pick it up. This will definitely happen a bunch with the different vehicles. And just kind of putting it all together with strategy and sequence, a lot of these things come all at once. So the combination of enemies, the different hazards, the different digging sequences, using the hookshot, jumping, continuing to dig, like they're going to be some seriously fun and interesting platforming sequences that you'll have to kind of zone in on and like get ready to do one after another. It can be fast, fun, pretty innovative, as well as some more advanced things that I haven't talked about. I don't quite want to spoil, but definitely unique in how it's putting it all together. And of course, you're going to be collecting things. So we talked about finding a lot of gems. These are going to be everywhere in the level, especially to help guide you on like your projectile sequence in a lot of these platforming things. So a lot of the gems are going to be laid out for you. Sometimes they're going to be embedded in walls, like kind of sticking out, and you just have to go over to the wall with the drill and break it apart, and then the gems will come out. Sometimes in a digging area, you'll see gems in a loop, and then as you collect them one by one, like you'll hear something like dun 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 dun, like stack up, and then if you collect all of them in a loop sequence, like some higher level gems will appear in the middle as kind of a reward. So this is something that pops up a lot of times in the game. As you're walking around, whether shooting off from dig area to dig area or just walking around your character left to right, there'll be a lot of pots and skulls. Everything can be broken, and anytime you break things, you're going to get gems from it. So it really pays to just walk around and hold the trigger for the drill to be on at all times, which is how I played basically, and you're going to wind up collecting a lot of gems, breaking a lot of things. The gold coins are things that we talked about. So each level will have 5 gold coins that are hidden somewhere that you need to find. A lot of times these are going to be in like breakaway walls, which visually, after you see for the first few times, you'll train your brain to just recognize them. You'll see like these cracked walls. It's pretty obvious, I think. Sometimes these are going to be like off the beaten path. Sometimes there'll be breakaway walls like in the middle of a tough sequence, and it's trying to distract you with the sequence so that you don't see the breakaway wall. But just kind of keep your eyes peeled for this. I didn't find these that difficult. If you've played Donkey Kong Country, the Kong letters, it's really not going to be anything that complicated. But it is nice because they are listed in kind of sequence. Like you'll see 5 red X's at the beginning of a level, and every time you get a coin, it'll populate over the red X. So if you miss one in sequence, it'll like skip that one, and so it'll say like, oh, you have the first and the third, which is really helpful because it's like, oh, I feel like it's been a while, I haven't found a coin, I probably missed one, let me go back a little bit. Getting these coins can unlock different things. So the main thing is when you go to the shop level in each world, there'll be a shop guy there who is selling like a gold key, which costs 10 of these gold coins, and it unlocks the one secret level in that world. You'll also be buying sticker pages, which is an unlockable thing. I think it's linked to trophies, and you need gold coins to do that. There's exactly enough gold coins to get everything that it is used for in the game. Some of this is like cosmetic things like your hair color or like a hood or scarf or something like that. But I think that's nice. It's not like giving you too much or not enough. The gems that you collect, these are primarily for buying stickers for the sticker pages, as well as getting temporary health. So you can get 4 extra temporary health that you can have on your character. But of course, once you lose it in a level, like you have to go back and get it again. This might be a good strategy for like preparing for the boss battle. So there's some things here with the collectibles, the stickers and the pages and whatnot. I didn't really get into this. I got the trophy for getting all the sticker pages and getting all the gold coins and beating all the secret levels. But beyond that, I didn't really mess around with like putting the stickers on the pages because there's a whole like photo mode mechanic for that. I didn't really mess around with that. But let's talk about pacing and accessibility. What is interesting about this game is that the difficulty is very consistent and there's no like easy, normal, hard options for difficulty. But I found that even as the game was adding more tricks and keeping things fresh and interesting, it didn't like smack you over the head with difficulty. It was kind of more the same and it required the same amount of like trial and error with different sequences. Again, I think that's nice, especially for the length of the game. It's not very long, but it's something that you don't have to worry about the game getting like ridiculously hard. I think the level variation is nice and the different sequences. Like you're going to have ones that are in like an ice biome or a swampy biome or a sandy biome, levels that are underwater, levels that primarily use the sand or the dirt. The bosses that are at the end of each world, again, there's only 4 of them. I found these fun, a bit tough. A lot of them I died at least 10 times. It required me to study their moves, their sequences, you know, that Soulsborne DNA in me really coming to life there. You will get hit, of course. You have 4 health. We talked about adding temporary health. If you lose all 4 health, you will die, but you will respawn. Very quick to respawn, similar to Hotline Miami. You'll respawn back to the nearest checkpoint. So each level is going to have like 2 or 3 checkpoints that are evenly spaced out at times. If you haven't gotten to a checkpoint, some of these secret levels are known for like not getting a checkpoint till really late in the level or super spacing them out. But you will have to go back to the beginning, which can be tough. If you're collecting, like I had a couple times where I got through a level, missed a gold coin. If you just go back into the level, get to the point where you find the coin, get the coin, you can just leave the level and you'll still have the coin. So I think that's nice. I like that. And then just accessibility, you can remap the controls, any buttons, which is very nice. And something interesting, you can actually adjust the game speed to make it slower, which I think is helpful for accessibility if you're finding it to be, you know, a bit too tough, like changing directions, moving in that 360 view with your joystick. It can slow it down. That could make it easier for you potentially, but it's not something I messed around with. Let's talk about the vibe of Pepper Grinder, and let's start with the visuals. So the game is super pixelated, very pixelated. A lot of pixels, reminds me of Wildfire visually, but a surprising amount of detail, especially with like the enemies, their faces, their eyes, their teeth, the different pots, like the stripes on them, how they're hanging sometimes, the skulls. So a lot of detail despite the high level of pixelation. The colors in this game are pretty muted. They are dependent on like the environment. Like if you're in the swampy area or the cold area, like you will see tints of different colors, but primarily it's going to be a lot of browns and grays for like the digging areas. If you're in like a beachy environment, it might be a bit more beige or sandy. Underwater, obviously it's going to be more blue. The enemies can kind of blend in a bit with these muted colors, especially like the browns and the beiges. A lot of your basic enemies are that color. So that can be a little visually obscuring, I feel. Like if enemies are just standing there or coming at you, especially if you've broken a lot of things like pots and stuff, or killed a lot of enemies in a certain area, like, you won't notice that there's an extra enemy unless it's, like, running at you, so that can be a little visually tough to discern. But, of course, the things that will stand out are going to be your gems, your hazards. Those are going to be brightly colored, so they're pretty obvious. And for obvious reasons, that's important. But other indicators, things that stand out, the yellow cap for the drill, like if you're coming across a different vehicle or a different weapon that you can pick up, that stands out. The prompt that comes up for the hook is visually nice and in your face, so you recognize it. It can be tougher in like a long platforming sequence, especially if you're jumping from digging area to digging area and you have like a very short window to get that hook in. It can like pop in very quickly, so that can make it tough. The broken walls for the secrets. This should be fairly obvious, I feel, but it does take your keen eye, especially if you're going through a platforming sequence. It is a bit subtle, but it's good. It's there. In terms of setting and themes, there's really not much explained, and honestly, who cares? I think that's fine. I think that honestly adds to the charm of the game. It's just like you wash up on shore. There are these sort of gremlins there. You're on an island. It's sort of like a pirate gremlin island. I don't know. You know, you're just there and they're like taking away all the gems and stuff. I don't know if you came off of a ship that was shipwrecked or something, but basically you wake up, you find a hand drill and you go to work. It's, I don't know, some kind of like a revenge tale. There's violence and gore, unapologetic. I don't know who your character is, but they're pissed at these gremlins and they're just going to go out and just drill them into bits. It almost reminds me a little of like Mad Max or something, like super metal and like, yeah, let's go. And there's vehicles and, you know, there's horns and spikes and all kinds of things. And that kind of bleeds in with the music as well. I really love the audio in this game. The music just really gets you going, especially when you're in a level. It's like, get up, go murder things. Again, like that metal, like rock and like, you know, really kind of getting you amped up. But then it's interesting because that also contrasts, like when you're in the overworld, it's kind of like very chill music, almost like island vibes in some worlds. In others, there's like a jazz trio doing like a doom scat scat, something like that. Like it's just a strange combination of like this heavy, fast-paced violence in level and then nonchalant vibes. You know, almost like a little bit of like Die Hard or something where like I'm expecting at the end of the game, this character should have said like, well, that's another vacation for me or something. Just kind of that nonchalant cross with like this heavy violence. All right, let's wrap up the conversation about Pepper Grinder. This is a fun game, and I found it pretty unique in terms of platforming. It's fast, it's fun, the sequences are pretty challenging, and it's not really something that I've experienced before, this sort of aiming in a 360 view, jumping from area to area, and trying to be as precise as possible. It really stayed fresh throughout the game. It added more combos in platforming sequences, different vehicles, just things to kind of keep it going. The collectathon I was really into, especially the 5 coins in each level, it was like automatic. If I missed a coin and I hit a checkpoint and I couldn't go back, I was restarting the level. I really wish there was more with this. I wish more could be done with the currencies or there was more to find, especially for trophies. I didn't really find the sticker thing too useful. I didn't really know the purpose of it. But in general, I really wish there was more in this game. Like, at least like 2 to 3 more worlds could have made this more complete for me, despite the fact that I liked that this game was short and refreshing as a palate cleanser. In terms of value, I think 15 is interesting as an MSRP. It could sit better at 10 for an MSRP, and I don't say that often because I don't really know what the $10 MSRP value is. I see a lot of games at that listing that just don't have a lot of quality. But I think given the quality of this game and the length and the amount of content, I feel like 10 could be a really viable spot for this that more people could jump into. I think getting this for under 10 bucks is really nice. I was really happy paying 6 bucks for this, and I really enjoyed my experience. Overall, I think this is a great game to pick up. It's quirky, it's interesting, this weird juxtaposition of high violence and low-key kind of nonchalantness with this unique platforming, and also a mid-level challenge. I definitely don't think this has like challenge highs as difficult as K's in the Wild Masks, or even Donkey Kong Country for that matter. I feel like this is a nice mid-level challenge, and it stays consistent with that. I also downloaded this on my PS4 so my wife could play it. I'm really interested to see her experience with it because I feel like the fact that it doesn't get too difficult is going to be really nice for her. And so I'm interested to see her try it. But honestly, this is a great recommendation for anyone. And so I highly recommend this game. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Stay tuned for our next episode to see what new game we found for you.